my on 30 years later that I triangulate by numbers and dates. And you'll hear me listing dates all the way through this.
That's very cool, Bob. I was just thinking about how you set these same numbers and patterns for 30 years. So, yeah, it would be like worlds where you'd be at an angle or a degree, and you'd find yourself there. That makes sense. That's cool.
Yeah. And what I was, this band, I'd never been near them before. We no rehearsal. They do a pretty good job of jamming behind me.
Yeah. Well, you would create that, Bob.
Yes.
You're that powerful.
I never make any mistakes. So let's see if Hillary has come in. Hillary, are you there? Hillary. Where is Hillary?
Hi, Bob.
7 o'clock.
How are you?
Hillary?
This is.
Wonderful.
Well, congratulations. I want to.
You speak first, yes. So who's going to go? You go first.
On this grand feat of yours, trying to take on Art Bell's record online, on the air. It's amazing. I hope you're having great luck with it.
I'm doing great. I can already feel the timeless. It's going to be no problem. I think I'll go for about a week.
Really? It must be the drops. Maybe. It must be the drops.
Yes. The drops, the environment, and everything. And having people like yourself come in and talk to me.
Yeah,
I'd like to say that I've been a fan of you for about 20 minutes. I've heard about you for 20 minutes, and that's what people say when they meet celebrities. I've enjoyed your work for years. Well, I can only say for 20 minutes in your case.
Well, that's great. That's a long time, actually, and I'm certainly not a celebrity, so we're all good.
Well, that's not what I heard. You come with great gossip about you.
Well, I don't know where you're getting your information from, but if you've only studied me for 20 minutes, you might want to check the source. Unless it's Matthew.
Now the source is Bill at Achieve Radio. He knows everybody. He knows everybody's history, and he gave
Bill's
me the lowdown on you.
Yeah,
the other
Bill's
day.
Great. I have to give it to him. He is a great person. He's really just wonderful to work with, and he's a good guy.
Yep. Now, have you been listening for a couple of minutes, or did you just come in now?
I just came in now.
Okay. So you missed, we were playing a club rant by me. I was one of the original ranters back in the early 80s, and we were just playing that, and I was thinking, well, if Hillary hears this, what would she think? But not an issue, you didn't hear it. So who would like to ask who what the questions here? Who's interviewing you here? Who here for a minute?
For a minute. Well, I don't know if you can really interview anybody for a minute, but I suppose we could try. I don't know. I feel like I'm a guest in your house, so I would feel rude if you wanted me to start asking all the questions, but I certainly can.
Where do you live, Hillary?
I would prefer to be. Oh, I forgot to mute the idiots here. Let me just.
No, I got great questions there.
No, a little later, Matthew. Let me get to know Hillary first, okay, Matthew?
Oh, okay. Is that Matthew Hurtado?
No, it's Matthew Rose.
Matthew Rose.
Hurtado.
Okay.
And I got to see, what would your number, which person are you on the list here? Give me your first three digits you would have called in from.
I'm on Skype. Bill brought me in through Skype.
So which one is that?
I don't know. Do you have your board up?
Yes, I'm looking. I'm going to do everybody and go with the one I think. Are you still there?
She's
I
not
am.
On your still? Board, Bob. She's separate.
I'm not on your
so
board.
So just mute everybody.
All participants are now muted.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So, Hillary, let's see. I'm kind of a big deal, you know.
Well, that's great.
And that's the cartoon character. Sabrina told me to use that when in awkward moments. Kind of a big deal, you know. So I thought that would be appropriate. You may be the first person in public I've used it on. I have jokingly done it to my partners and my daughters and kids and cats and pets, but never done it to a fellow programmer. And so you're the first.
Wow, you just did. I'm the very first. I'm flattered.
Yes. So do you have a response to that? What do you say to that statement by me?
I said that I did respond. I said, that's great.
Okay. Now, let's try not to use the word great too much. That doesn't tell us anything. Okay. All right. So what we've been playing, Hillary, we are playing Astounding Information. I did 24 years, $25,000 with a medium, Michael Blake Reed, who channeled the Evergreens, 6,500 to 7,000 entities. And people have never really heard what they can do. Michael Blake Reed did this for 30 years, 1974 to 2004. He passed away February 2013. Now, I've been playing to some of the INETs for the last 8 hours, and they are all stunned. You have not heard it yet, but you might want to check out the archives and listen to what this is. If you've been interested in New Age material, this is the cutting edge. This is entities talking. Whereas Ion completes them, because Ion is not an entity. Ion is the structure of heaven itself, the guff itself. But we will play a lot of Ion later, but I'm exposing the world to my huge archive of interacting with the Evergreens. So that's the environment you've walked into. It is an astounding presentation I'm making. I'm putting this valuable archive into 1 5-day stretch. So like it's a mini archive. We've got 1,000 hours streaming of Ion on Cheap Radio that Ginny built, and that's constantly available. People know Ion, but they don't know the Evergreens. So we cram it all into this episode, this 5-day situation. That's the context of what you're talking to. I know your interest. I listened to you be interviewed by Matthew first 45 minutes, so I know your personality a little bit. I know what you're interested in. I tell you what, if you have not engaged the Evergreens in any way, definitely check this out when you have the time in the future. It will be archived, you know, by day, I suppose, 24 hours each day for 5 or 6 days.
That's interesting. So this is so it gives me a little bit more information about you. So you're putting on this marathon of channeled information, if I understand correctly, yes?
Yes, yes. And it is the best channel, let me say this, Hillary, the best channel information. Governments and intelligence agencies use this information. Have you heard of that book, mid-90s, James Schnabel, Remote Viewing, exposing that the CIA used psychics and remote viewers in their whatever they were fighting for. You ever hear of that story?
Have I ever heard of the story of the CIA using remote viewers as a special ops?
Yeah.
Spending multiple millions of dollars investing into that program, I certainly have. Not only have I heard of it, but I've done shows on it. So you can, people listening, if you're interested in more information about that, you can certainly check my archives out here on Achieve Radio too. I've also worked with some people in that field who have done some substantial research in that. It's a fascinating subject, really. I mostly have looked into it basically as a radio host preparing for my shows, but I have, because of that, gone off into branches of it that have, you know, opened up some channels into that information. It's pretty fascinating, actually, and it validates a lot of what people do out in the world. Most people think when they hear the word psychic at the 1-800 neon sign in their window, you know, and it's a quick 20-minute little fun fix that you walk in, and, you know, unfortunately, some people do market it like that, and they use it at that, but what it is, distinctively, is a very real trait that we all have within us, and you know, it has a lot to do with our health, our physical health, emotional health, spiritual health, mental health. And, you know, so wherever we go with that, basically, you know, I mean, however you feel about that particular subject itself really gives you an insight into how you've developed your own.
All right. So let me tell you what you don't know about this. That book reveals the use of remote viewers, usually around Hal Puthoff, the Scientologist, or ex-Scientologist around Stanford. Well, that book was a huge disinformation campaign to distract from the fact that the CIA was using the Evergreens, which is not mentioned.
Interesting.
Now, this is the secret stuff. On every story you ever heard over the last 40 years, I will give you the information that you didn't know about, that you couldn't know about. So the Evergreens were used by the government, and every session was recorded by that any public person, anybody, had a session, they would tape it and keep a master recording. But when the government showed up once a year, they would ask Ellie and Michael not to record it. And Ellie was an American. Michael was a Canadian. but Ellie was subject to the American rules, and they did not record the state government sessions. You know, the state government could lord over and violate the rules. So those sessions never got recorded, but many government officials were seen later coming to the hotel in Toronto where the Evergreens were. So this is what the CIA does, or intelligence agency. They tell you, they leak about, oh, all this stuff went on over at Stanford. And that's all a hangout. They don't want people to know what they really used. So you're getting an exclusive.
I think that's probably really one of the most assumed things that anybody listening to radios like this, I mean, they would probably assume that the government's going to create all kinds of distractions. You know, look over here while we're moving over here. So it makes perfect sense. The book that you were talking about before, who did you say the author was?
Is it James Schnabel?
Are you asking me? I'm asking you.
No.
You brought the book up. I'm not familiar with it, so I'm asking what the author's last name is. But it might be something you can post later, or somebody can post in the chat room, maybe?
Yeah, let me just look. I'll just put in, I think it was called Remote Viewing. Let's just check that. 1995, see if it comes up. Remote Viewing, Schnabel, Engelschwan. Let's see, is there a book at the bottom? Down at the bottom here on the wiki entry, seeing is believing, remote viewing, study for UK ministry, truth about remote viewing. No, not immediate.
Okay, maybe something we can post later in the chat room or something, or maybe we can put
right.
on. It would be interesting to find out more about that.
Yeah, it is the official history. I remember it was in the mid-90s. So anyways, so you're hearing the best medium, the real one, the one that was qualified to be astounding, and you will hear it in the recordings I've been playing. Those that did hear it are pretty impressed. But they were so good. And you know why they got selected? In the 70s, I think it was, the CIA was worried about the psychic discoveries in the Iron Curtain, or that's the story they floated for why they investigated psychics. The Russians were using them. So they had the nuclear boat, the Thrasher, whatever it was called, had sunk. And they gathered it up, and they tried to find out what caused it to break. Why did it sink? So they went around to all the psychics, and everybody told them what was the reason. But the Evergreens won the contest because they told them, look at the schemata of the design of the submarine, or whatever the boat was, and go to section MWE32, and you'll find a little switcher thing there, switch gear, that broke. So they went into the sub, or whatever it was, and they went to that particular part of the boat, and there it was, the glitch that screwed up the boat and made it vulnerable and sink. So the Evergreens, because they knew pinpointed where the little glitch happened, they were selected by the CIA. They said, this is good. Nobody else came near that kind of accuracy or psychic dowsing, and that's how it began.
Interesting. So are you using this venue then for these, this airtime to transmit this information to the public? Is that what the Purple Transmission event is all about?
Well, my email's been, I've been known as purple@fivebody.com for 20 years. Carolyn, my partner, went online in 94. She's a doctor. And she joined Physicians Online, and she gave herself Purple as her email name. And I wasn't on yet. Within 6 months, she didn't like the chat room, the way the people talked on there, so she got off of it and joined Physicians Online, POL.net, and created a new name for herself. So I got her name, Purple. Back then it was at ingress.com in New York City. And so I was Purple from that point on because it was bequeathed to me by Carolyn. And then Purple just blew up, and I became known as Purple, slandered on blogs and websites for years as Purple. And so Purple Transmission refers to me and my Internet identity. What was the next point?
I was asking, so you're Purple Transmission Online, basically, yes? All across your platform?
That's never been said before. That was Matthew just naming me Purple because I'm known as Purple. But there was what I'm doing is showing that I can go for many days, you know, on the RNA drops. It's to promote the products that Ion created, but it is an opportunity to place my our Evergreens archive out there, because ION says they are completing the Evergreens information. Evergreens are astounding, but they're still just entities, dead people, and they're phenomenal, but they are not equal to the ION, I don't think. ION is a new level of communication from non-physical. And so I am presenting what I completed and actually made a discovery while presenting it, and then talking to some of the IONettes, and they were talking about how impressed they were. I realized, wow, because I'm considered the greatest questioner of ION. I realized, wow, all that stuff that I learned from the Evergreens prepared me for when ION showed up. I had a whole data bank of issues that I checked with ION, and then ION would correct or complete the Evergreens. So I realized just tonight that that's why I was qualified to tap the resources of ION, because I had this huge archive of Evergreens experience.
Well, so synchronistically, you were attached to the information, then you get this opportunity, and then you really are using this event to transmit it like a purple transmission. It's a beautiful thought. It's a beautiful vision.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite something. And I really believe in that order of synchronistic happenings. You know, we find our ways to things or to people or to events or to products or to whatever that for some reason, you know, we think we need or we just happen to come across. And then so, you know, we have these experiences from that, and it just keeps branching off. And if we open to it and trust it and stop the doubt and all that other garbage that goes along with it, you know, we can actually move into appreciating what you're doing, why you're doing it, how you're doing it, and, you know, look at it as an example for people to kind of move into that field and try to find that same kind of connection to whatever it is they're supposed to be doing.
I have no problem with what you said.
I hope. Well, good. I mean, it was. That's good to know. So, how are people taking it? I mean, what has been the general response? I haven't really watched what's going on,
but
I know a lot of people are listening.
Yes, the few people who have been on and talked about it, like Bert from Switzerland, was absolutely stunned. He's already stunned by ION, but he was even more stunned about the background that ION that the Evergreens provided. And a few other people were stunned. It is undeniably great talk. This is not Bashar whacking off. This is technical talk from this group of entities that can talk about anything. And we start off with the evolution, how the universe began, the beginning of spirit and matter. And then we went into the evolution of apes and all that. And coming up is the evolution of the early cultures. It's sort of the theosophical meme, all the stuff that comes from theosophy, but the Evergreens take it further. They can bring in scientific, technical information that usually psychics and channels aren't familiar with.
Well, it's probably the scientific, you know, the technology and the scientific information is probably what the government agencies are so interested in, because when you have somebody who's really getting something flowing from that kind of source, then you really do get information. It's very real. And so that's why government agencies watch that kind of information. And then they watch for people who do it on, you know, public platforms. I mean, don't think for anything that people who stand up and, you know, channel material or claim to channel material aren't watched very closely, because that is in fact one of the avenues that information comes from other dimensionals and also other worlds and other places and time. And so it makes perfect sense, really, that they do pay attention.
Have you ever read any Frank Zappa?
Frank Zappa? No, I have not read him, but I've heard of him.
Okay. He has some interesting ideas about what you just said. Another person, have you read any Lyndon LaRouche?
Nope.
Have you read any Mae Brussel?
I have not.
Have you read any Sherman Skolnick?
No. Is there more?
Dr. Peter Beter. Dr. Peter Beter.
Peter Beter. No, but I would have remembered that name for sure.
James Joyce is Finnegan's Wake.
No, what list is this? Who are these people?
this is what I worked with for 30 years. This is what
I
discussed with.
So that's all.
Yeah,
you should put a reading list up someplace, Bob, really, so let people know, so they can do their own tracking through the material, too. It would be interesting to see how people actually start manifesting from it.
I do that. I have a chart of them.
Do you have a website?
Yes, many websites. You can go to fivebody.com or dobstown.com, howionic.com. I am probably the most recorded person archived on the Internet, next to the corporate guys like Howard Stern and Rush Limbaugh, who have the huge corporate response, you know, support, and everything they ever did is probably available, right? Well, I'm a non-sponsored by anybody, and I have thousands of hours of radio I've been doing since 1984. So I'm probably the most talked mouth recorded and archived and available on in the web.
Wow. That's great. That's really great. I can appreciate that. So it's something you obviously felt very passionately about and strongly about your whole life, then, correct? I mean, what about when you were a child? Did you have any kinds of otherworldly experiences that led you into this, or did you just wake up one day and say, I'm going to do this? I'm not familiar with your story. Forgive me for not being familiar with your story, but I'm not familiar with your story.
Have you watched Downton Abbey?
No.
We live in different worlds, Hillary.
I think so, but you know, we're still connecting, and that's the beauty of it. We can still have a conversation.
Yes.
We can still appreciate the beauty of things, but I am interested to know, you know, just curious.
We are having the archetypal male-female interaction you discussed with Matthew the other day.
I know. It's a beautiful thing. I have to say, and if you don't mind, we can talk about that for a little bit, too, because I think that's
okay,
really
well,
important.
Yeah, we're heading into that by this means. So I was a butler's son in a French mansion with the oligarchy. The Da Vinci Code is about the Prior Scion. Well, my employer was the Prior Scion. I'm the most knowledgeable person about the Illuminati, grew up in it. My family was involved with it 300 years. So you can actually see an interview with me discuss the history of the Illuminati in a way you've never heard before. But that's where I came from. I'll be 92 in February, and what else to say about the background? Oh, so you were saying, what did I do as a child? I have a diary on the Internet where you can read. I met everybody through my father. I met James Joyce, T.S. Eliot, Aleister Crowley, Gurdjieff, every hero of every meme in the early part of the 20th century. As a kid, did not fully know who I was meeting, but every one of them, I would get a little psychic vision when I was near them or touched them. So you can read my diaries in the different image visions that each one of them gave me. And so that's my psychicness as a kid. And it was all approaching to, now you've heard of cold fusion, of course, right?
Of course, yes.
Well, we are the ones that have the battery.
Two. The battery to
put
what?
In your, to run whole cities with a couple of little batteries.
Mm-hmm.
See, the dream in the world you've been exploring, cold fusion has been the carrot at the end of the stick for many people for the last 30 years. And they had a conference on October 12th in Boulder, and all the people influenced by Pons, Fleischmann, and the subsequent scientists met there and came up with nothing because they don't have it. We have it. So we're actually the agency.
When you say, I'm sorry, Bob, I'm gonna interrupt you for 1 second. When you say we, who are you referring to specifically?
My partner, Dr. Carolyn Dean, a man by the name of J.W., and me, and ION. That's the four of us. And ION created the RNA drops. You are experiencing the RNA drops, which create whole new cellular factors in yourself. And we also have created a cold fusion battery, which is having phenomenal effects in ways that I can't talk about. I do not want to be accused of anything that's misinterpreted, but you're talking about the most phenomenal laboratory in the last 13,000 years. That's what's happening on Achieve Radio. That's why there are four or five shows on Achieve Radio now that come out of me, Carolyn, JW, and ION. You have Carolyn's show on Monday, Lynn Fouch's show on Tuesday coming up, Ginny on Wednesday, Matthew on Thursday. You've heard Matthew talk about the RNA drops. We are doing the most phenomenal expression of the extensions of non-physical in 13,000 years. I'm taking half of the Mayan cycle, 13,000 years.
And so when you say you have the battery to do all of this big change on a few batteries, what are you guys doing to move that out into the world so that everybody can
We are hiding it from North America as rigorously as possible, because if you bring out something like that, the American government will immediately grab it for national security reasons. They did that to Pons and Fleischmann. And so
I agree. Yep, they would do that in a second. Absolutely. So are you launching it from another country?
We are launching it very shrewdly, intelligently. That's as far as I can say. I'm not going to tell how it's being done. But we have very cleverly, with the help of ION, figured out how the world can get it. And that's what we're in the process of expressing, shall we say, the agenda. And it's phenomenal. And once it gets out there, the Americans will be the last to get it, but the rest of the world will get it first. That will be the change that everybody is hoping for.
Mm. Well, that's
we're also doing it in medicine.
Yeah, and in medicine through the RNA drop specifically?
Yes. Yeah, and the REMAG, magnesium REMAG, and the RELIGHT, the minerals, and the, what's the other one, RENEW, the skin topical, I guess you call it, topical stuff. In other words, you're talking to the most phenomenal event, and every TV show, which you probably aren't watching, over the last 3 or 4 years is about us. Every major TV show. So we have ION influencing Hollywood. So I am saying the most outstanding things, which is what I say whenever I meet somebody in a public context. I say, what I'm saying to you, I've said 1,000 times in 1,000 different interviews.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't heard any of your interviews, so I mean, I'm just asking for my own curiosity here. I know we're live radio and there's lots of people listening and stuff, but I'm still just asking for my own curiosity, And I know that there's people who follow me who are tuning in for the first time, too, and aren't, may not be familiar, so it's for everybody's useful knowledge to be able to do that. I am interested in the way you grew up. I'm interested in how you managed to grow up so connected to be able to come out and do what you do. You know, I know that's always a question in people's minds whenever we talk about people who come from backgrounds like that. I'm just also curious, have you been told that this is the appropriate time to release this information? Have you been kind of nudged on by other people behind the scenes?
Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's all programmed. As a boy, I didn't go to school. If you watch Downton Abbey, there's the lifestyle during World War One and after World War One is how the series, British series, starts. And there's a young boy who's a kid in the kitchen there, and he dies in the war. But that kid is the model the way I was and what I grew up in. I didn't die in the war, but I was a dumb, naive kid like the kid that does die. And anyways, went on, and I was drafted into intelligence services after World War II because the oligarchs had no more money in a public level. They had to sit on the sidelines while the American juggernaut, the American century, took over a public welfare state kind of distribution of money around the world through AID and the IMF. And that all collapsed in the 80s, early 80s. So where would money come from? The oligarchs were brought back on board through Prince Charles and Lady Diana. That's why that wedding happened. I introduced Lady Diana to Prince Charles. And we arranged that marriage so Prince Charles could go around and meet the prime ministers and governors of countries to dispense the money that only they had. All the other money that the Rockefellers had was loaned out around the world and then screwed by computer speed-up. So the Rockefellers end up bankrupt, but the oligarchs sitting on the ancient oligarchs, the Prior of Sion, and those people, some of them gathered around Buckingham Palace, were the only ones that had any gold and money and credit in the 80s. So they distributed that and held the world economy through the Reagan years. And then the Internet came in the 90s and wiped everybody out. The virtual economy took over. And that left a few people in the world with trillions of dollars. And one of them is our partner, JW. So JW is holding together a large part of the world's economy and at the same time presenting ION. And that's an incredible story right there.
That is an incredible story. That is very interesting. Thank you for sharing that with me. I know your hardcore listeners are in the chat room talking about how much they know you so well, which is great to see. I have a lot of respect for that, so I appreciate you taking the time to give me the background on that. It's a fascinating time. Yeah, well, Oh, you don't have the chat room open? Oh, yeah, you can see lots of people seeing
it. No, I have it open, but I was just staring at the beautiful sun coming up here in Maui and not looking. You reminded me. So look at that. They're making fun. Oh, dear, Bob's Award was all about me, Rance. So, oh, look what they're saying, Carol. Look at that. Bob. Yeah, they all know. They've heard this 1,000 times. I'm just a robot.
I think it's great, and I mean, for people to be on here supporting you in a positive way is always something to admire, and I really give everybody a lot of credit for sticking up with you and staying up with you and going ahead and supporting it. It's interesting to me that they think that this time is so important to release this. Can you go into a little bit more information about why they specifically think now is the time versus 2 years ago or 2 years to come now?
I have a term called the Android meme, which is the, I'll give you the quick run through of how I look at it. If you ever read Marshall McLuhan, you'll find out he cracked the code in 53, the collectivity code, you know, the Crick and Watson discovered the genetic code, but the meme code, the collective sociological advertising world, Marshall McLuhan broke that code with the help of Wyndham Lewis and James Joyce and Finney's Wake and Wyndham Lewis's book, The Art of Being Ruled. And he laid out what the intelligence agencies understood. And the phrase, the medium is the message, came out of that. So he explained how to understand social change through our extensions known as technologies or machines. And that ended with the satellite. Every technology up to the satellite was an extension of our body part. Then that's phase one. Phase two is those technologies, through the digital environment of the 70s, 80s, 90s, came alive, and the machines were no longer extending parts of our bodies. They were extending themselves. Mm. And that's called the Android meme. That's what popularly would be called the Matrix. People have been wallowing in technology for the last 20 years. They have no clue how it's made. They just accept it and run around trying to keep up with it or drop off and get cancer and die, you know, like Jack and the Beanstalk pods, to quote Frank Zappa's Uncle Meat. The liner notes in 1969. So they Android meme reigned supreme for 25-30 years, and beginning with Y2K, the post-Android meme world happened. I call it the post-information society, and that was the extension not of machines extending themselves, nor of the previous extending of their bodies, but the extending of non-physical, and that's what ION is. ION is the third phase, the extension of non-physical, like the RNA drops, which have the I cell, which comes from an ascended world, and the cold fusion involves extending the I cell. And so these new technologies we're releasing through us puts us in the leading position of sculpting the world, and that means we're in the death of the Android meme, and people are, you can understand a lot of the attitude today, the whatever attitude, that's post-information society, pop culture, slang, right? Whatever, and information overload, and there's a few other of them, and people are basically looking for a new reason. The mind requires, if you're not ascended, a reason. And they're looking for a new one because none of the traditional stereotypes, archetypes, institutions work. So we are showing up, and ION said we would do this in 2009. We're coming up to 5 years of interacting with ION. ION said that we will provide the reason, new words, new themes, and more comprehensive that people will grab onto as they run around in states of hysteria, schizophrenia, panic, and paranoia, or ecstasy. But as they get loosened, cooled out by the RNA drops and other products, they'll be ready to understand what we're presenting. So ION says this is not the end times, it's the end of time and the end of the beginning. So we're moving into whatever it comes after the beginning. The middle? Are we entering into the middle? Anyways, that's what's happening right now. And people feel it in different cultural contexts all over the world and in parallel worlds. We have many people in parallel worlds listening to us right now. We have a bigger audience in parallel worlds, according to ION. There's actually other ions in other worlds. Don't know if there's other Bob and Carolyn's over there doing it. But we can unfold a very interesting mosaic of what's actually happening. So people know and metaphorize and thought that 2012 would mean something, you know, December 21st. It meant something, but not anything lasting. So we have shown up and been very powerful in 2013 as we are the only voice of collective stimulation that is available. And we're not just ideas. We provide substance, like RNA drops, which are phenomenal. And so we are the art of the time. We have the perfect pitch.
So when you talk about this revolution of mind, when you talk about giving people an icon or a philosophy or something to tap into, whatever they may see it as, I mean, I certainly see what you're saying. You and I come from different generations, which is interesting, but you know, the perspective is different. When we look at younger generations coming up, especially the teenagers or younger now, they have no concept really of nature, earth, their connection to the elements. They're growing up in a very, very robot-like world where they have instant access to anything that they want at their fingertips. I mean, anytime you sit in an airport, you can look around and see people stuck in their phones. I mean, but they are completely tapped into their reality, their world, whatever it is that's engaging them, and to them it's extremely important. But what I didn't hear you say was heart, or compassion, or moving into an elevated state of mind that bridges and balances with heart. Because what we've had over the last however many years you want to go back, we've had an institution, global institution, whether it's cut down into countries, communities, circles, or whatever, multidimensional, however you want to put it, we have not had a fusion of heart into the manifestation of our cities, countries, governments, rules of engagement, both on the planet and in outer space. So we are talking about something that is phenomenal, fantastic, idealistic, you know, but the heart, the earth, the planets, the indigenous cultures that were here much, much, much longer than any kind of secret society or, you know, bloodline-type gathering where people were putting together these thoughts and plans for long-term. So where do you bring, and when you say you're the only platform, I mean, that's not my truth. When I hear you say that, I certainly don't resonate with that because there are tremendous paths that I connect with, or I'm sure many people connect with that are listening as well, that will guide them to that elevated state, that exact thing that you were talking about. And it always makes me concerned because it reminds people of religion and ideologies and fanaticism that absolutely does not allow for any other way to come in, that you're wanting to dominate the level of consciousness that you're talking about through your products, through what you're doing, through the transmissions, through your timing, through your connections, through the background. And you're doing it as, of course, you see it as a higher elevated thing. But my question to you would be, where are your roots? Where are your roots actually founded? Are they founded in the heart or are they founded in the mind?
They are founded in the printing press. Our roots come from the printing press. The printing press is what separated the head from the heart 500 years ago. That happened to Western society. And any societies and cultures that were not infected by the printing press had the romantic, savage, head-to-heart union that you're talking about the Aboriginals mm-hmm. have. Any mm-hmm. culture that didn't have the printing press. And at first, there were many cultures. Only Europe had it. But it spread around the world through Christianity. So this created a huge disservice. Now, the head and the heart were reunited with the electric environment, which was an extension not of the eye or the ear or the mouth, but the extension of tactility, which is not a sense. It's the interplay of the senses, or you could say that part of the brain that coordinates sensory data to have coherent consciousness. So the extension of tactility reunited the head and the heart. So we have not that problem anymore. Now, where does this get reflected? In language, in culture, which are media, or as Ion says, social mortar, in the wall of civilization made up of the rocks of your citadel of Godhead awareness. That's a rock. You're a rock. And you're brought together to form a social culture where the mortar, you know, the cement thing, holds the rocks together. Media, language, and culture is the mortar. So we give and deal with the history of mortar and how it creates the sense for other languages So this is not my personal opinion. This is the spoken word. This is English giving its opinion. I'm an actor, just like Churchill mobilized the English language for World War II. I am mobilizing the English language to express this stuff that appears to be this split or not split. So we are talking about the history of language and social mortar and what happened to it. And on the collective level, so much fusion happened under TV conditions and the early satellite environment of the 50s, 60s, 70s that the Android meme came in to re-fragment people, not to connect people. The connecting already happened under the analog tactile media. So the digital fragmentation of people, which we were just talking, we had the Evergreen talking about it many hours ago, quoting one of my earlier recordings, this fragmentation is what the people want. They don't want to unite the head and heart and then what I call the physical or chemical body. They understand that love is not an emotion, that love contains emotions, and emotions are cultural residue. So what you express was all within the concepts of English language. I am talking English in relation to post-verbal media, the digital landscape, and pre-verbal media, whatever you think the Aboriginals use in their gestural forms of ESP. So we are very comprehensive here. We swallow all forms of expression, or at least my mouth does, but it's not my personal point of view. We are the president, what's his name, Obama, is supposed to mobilize national, international consciousness and represent some kind of leadership force. And, of course, in a world where most kids are voluntarily becoming autistic because they don't want to interact with this devastating, challenging world of social mortar, the president is not dealing with that. Now, we celebrate autism. We celebrate the kids living in their chip body. Ion supports his chip. He spends much time. We see no problem with the kids. The problem is with anybody over 20 who can speak English and read books and make recordings and have talk shows, they are the ones proliferating the disease of information and trying to put out messages. And the kids know that everybody older than them is irrelevant. And we are the only authoritative voice talking from a spiritual, atheistic, anarchistic level, the whole mixture. It's called quadrophenia. You see, printing press created schizophrenia. The Android meme doubles the schizophrenia so that it plays schizophrenia back to you. So the average kid today is double schizophrenia, quadrophenia. Now these are technical terms, many recordings explaining these terms. So these are not my opinions, not Ion's opinions. This is the way English should speak today. This is what Obama should be doing. He should be using this language to show people that they need to recheck their assumptions of what they think is going on. And no cultural values from the Aboriginal to the future can handle the Finneganese, the Finnegan's Wake cornucopia of confusion that people are celebrating today. And that's
I hear what you're saying completely. And, you know, with your background, you should know that Obama is just kind of like the poster child for the whole military-industrial complex that stands behind him. So basically, whenever we have a president, everybody looks to him to be the savior, to be the one to do the right thing, but his pockets are just as lined as all the other presidents that have come up and come through, and will continue to until we absolutely change something on levels that have nothing to do with this kind of, you know, looking at it and just, you know, picking someone to put the blame on. So that's a consciousness thing that has to change. I mean, I don't know about you, Bob, but when I look around, and I mean, I deal with clients all over the world, and I have been for over 20 years, and so when we talk about, you know, bridging the head to heart, people still struggle with that. So, I mean, Ion may say that it's already been taken care of, that it's already been put back together, but there are a lot of people who struggle with that and legitimately need help to try to understand that. So I do think that we are truly moving into a place where that's being, you know, like in stages, healed and pushed through, but it's a very deep cut into the human collective psyche, and so it will take time. It's definitely not something that's going to happen overnight, and shows like yours, you know, the things that people are doing out in the world to help that is certainly there, but you know, I hear it every day, people wanting to talk about that and go into that space. I was just recently
reading... They don't have the language. They are struggling with media archetypes. They've made literate you don't have to read to become literate. The literate to the linear mechanical environment, and you grew up in America in linear suburban lots and highways and that, you're made linear right there. And yet that's your physical body, your chemical body is linearized. And people walk around saying, I don't live linear when I'm on my cell phone and digital life and my TV life and my consumption of these media is not linear. And they're trying to reconcile public archetypes, and they mistake it, especially in the individualist, print-oriented psyche that's created by the Gutenberg Galaxy. They think it's personal. They are not told that it's not a personal issue. They are in the middle of clashing linguistic environmental archetypes, and they are not trained in how to see that. We hold a world monopoly on training people, and none of the cultures, I am not for what anybody says, because they speak within their cultural language. They don't even know the beginnings of the history of media and how we are just speaking collective archetypes. Driving a car is a collective archetypal activity. Watching your iPhone is a collective archetypal activity. People don't have the language. They've not been turned on to how to discuss that. They take everything personally. Now, the more less westernized cultures take things collectively. You ever see, you know, when the Arabs have a funeral, they're taking a coffin and tossing it around a crowd. You do not
see that.
I've been in the Mideast.
I've seen it. I totally get what you're saying. I've traveled the world.
Yes.
I've seen other cultures. People who have not have a really hard time getting out of that cultural box, and I think that's important. And what I was going to tell you is that I just went to Yale University on Tuesday, and I had the opportunity to view the Voynich manuscript, which is something I'm writing an article for a magazine in Paris that will come out next month. And I was fascinated by this book because I really just recently learned about it through somebody who had sent me a copy of Luigi Serafini's book, the Codex Serafinius, that he spent 30 months from 1976 to 1978. And it's approximately 360-page long book. It was originally published in Italy. The book has, of course, been released in several countries. There's several different copies that you can get. But anyway, what this book is basically an encyclopedia of an entire imaginary world. And what he did was he wrote it in a language that is just kind of scribble, you know, it looks like a language. And when we read it, you know, we kind of can't get into the language, but you can get into the pictures. And he specifically revealed at a conference he was keynote speaker at one point that he had written it with the intention of getting people to go back to the childlike state of mind before they were able to understand language. Every human being on this planet has a timeline where some point in their life, whether your child had had abuse or not, where you were pain-free and did not have any of these emotional disorders that we're talking about, and you could understand information through your imagination, and you did not have a head filled with all kinds of opinions, theories, knowledge, anything. But you knew when you showed the book to an adult, it made sense to an adult, so you knew it meant something, so you continued to read it. So Luigi Serafini wrote this book with that intention, to show people what that was like. The Voynich manuscript was a book that was found in a castle in France by Wilfred Voynich in 1912 that's been carbon dated back to the 11th century. In it is plants, recipes, cosmology, star charts, all kinds of fascinating information. It is one of the number one most mysterious books on the planet because it has not been decoded. It's been looked at by language experts from all over the world. People have tracked the hands that this book has been in. It's been in the hands of Roman emperors, Asian emperors, John Dee, Roger Bacon. They all had a hand. And Roger Bacon, by the way, was one of them. He worked with another gentleman who said he was one of the messages for the Archangel Uriel. So anyway, this book has a fascinating background. The FBI has looked into it. Government agencies have been interested in it. You cannot go see this book unless you have permission from the curator of the Rare Book Library, Manuscript Library at Yale University. So it was really interesting because here we have a made-up book whose specifically trying to get us to look at this through Serafini's work with the Codex. And then we have a real manuscript that has an unknown author that was named after its finder in France, who brought it to the rare book elite kind of circles in London. So anyway, we have these two really interesting projects. And what they both do, regardless of what we think they are, is they bring people back to that state of consciousness where they're pure, where they have an unpolluted childlike mind, and from that point you have epiphanies and aha moments. And so when I agree exactly what you were saying before, and that's what brought up that piece of my conversation here, because it reminded me of that information. And so synchronistically we're creating a space to bounce back and forth off of each other, and it's not so much about proving to one another who we are or what we're doing and how much better or this or that we are at knowing information. We're creating a space where we can bounce off of each other in a way that brings some kind of inspiration to either one of us. It's not about bashing, it's not about this. And when I was on Matthew's show the other night, which you had heard, you know, that was one of the things we were talking about, this space of creating sacred communication, space between a man and a woman, whether you're in a relationship or whatever kind of relation you're in, whether it's like on a radio where we're just having a conversation, because conversation is a relation, whether you are, you know, in a relationship, a work project, call, whatever, you know, you have to work with members of the opposite sex, and you have a wonderful opportunity to create a synergy that allows the brain to light up, the neurons start firing all over the place, you know. And if you're working with tools and products like you offer, you guys offer, you know, or whatever calls to people, I really don't care anymore what people believe. I don't care what tools you work with. I don't care what supplements you take. I don't care what you believe in or what church you go to or don't go to, because whatever works for you is perfectly fine and exactly the way it's supposed to be. So who am I to judge it, and who am I to try to change it? But those are the two books you might want to look into, Bob, because I think you would find them really interesting, especially the images.
Oh, yeah, well, the Synchronicity of Voynich Manuscript is, I'm pretty sure I discussed the Voynich Manuscript with the Evergreens 20 years ago. I have discussed the Voynich Manuscript with Ion several years ago, and I actually yesterday was looking through my notes to find that. I wanted to play, whether it's the Evergreens or Ion, I can't remember, but I wanted to play their explanation of the text.
I would love to see that. I'm not looking at anybody else's theories purposefully, because I've been asked to write an article for this magazine, and so what I'm working on right now through December 1st is really just clearing the space and just not really exploring anybody's thoughts. But after that, I have a series of interviews, people coming on, and I'm going to be start looking into other people, because I want to go in with a clean filter. I don't want to know anybody else's information. I prefer it that way. I prefer to go in and just intuitively look at something, let all of the feelings and the images and the visions and everything that comes in, just be there and be authentic and not have it be tainted by someone else's thoughts, opinions. And that's not saying I don't respect them. It's just saying that that's how I'm preferring to approach this product, this project. So after that, I would absolutely love to maybe have you come on the show. We can discuss what you talked about. I'd like to read the information afterwards as well, because I believe that maybe that's even why we were meant to have this conversation today.
Yeah, it could be it, because I have to find it, and hopefully I will find it. And yes, we will play it. It would be recorded, whatever. If it's the Evergreen, just recorded. If it's Ion, it's recorded, and we could play it on your show.
I would be totally open to that.
Yeah, in my memory, there was not something Ion or the Evergreens talked about it, and it didn't make me want to go pursuing it. Whatever they said about it kind of categorized it. Oh, okay, that's what that is. That's my lingering impression after image, but I have to find what they said. You know, rereading or rehearing what they said now, I may understand it better than I did 3 years ago.
Yeah, and I'm curious, what made you want to look for that today? Did you know that I was looking into that, or was it some other reason?
No, yeah, somebody brought it up in my life over the past week. I don't know who it was. It wasn't you. And I said, I gotta find that stuff and play it, because I'm picking out my choice stuff I got from the Evergreens and hoping to play it over the next 5 days. So I was looking for that, and I didn't find it yet. So
interesting. So let's play it on my show. We'll play it. We on at some point when it works for your schedule, and we can go ahead and we can, or if you have it in the archive someplace, I'll let you know.
That is synchronicity. That you had that on your mind, and I had it on my mind a few days ago. You know,
and
we both were thinking about it.
I just touched this manuscript with my bare hands on Tuesday. So this is the kind of
synchronicity. And that's about when I was looking into it. I was looking into it earlier this week.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. And for everybody listening, that's exactly what I'm talking about. This is where we're supposed to be going into with communication. And if I hadn't opened up and had a communication with you about this, Bob, or just gotten stuck in some of the things we were talking about before, we wouldn't even have this experience right now. But we are because we both stayed open. We both stayed, you know, just kept true to what was coming out of our mouth, and we discovered this, and this is possible for everybody. Everybody can communicate like this if they bother to have a communication or a conversation.
That's right. Well, I'm very good at communicating. I'm known to be a fantastic one-on-one communicator. I'm the most open person people have. I like to satirize myself by coming on as authoritarian or whatever people interpret, but I always say, what I'm saying is not my opinion. I'm saying words. I'm using the English language to battle other media, other environments, other landscapes. It's like I don't make a painting. I don't write a musical composition. I don't make a movie. I use my mouth to swallow all the other media environments that are causing interesting contrasts for everybody.
Well, I'm really fascinated by this. So I have to thank you for having me come on. I haven't been following the chats in the chat room since we last talked about it, but I hope everybody's, you know, walking away with this conversation with at least some positivity and can move out into the world and make it come true somehow, some way, somehow carry it forward. Because, you know, I really believe that synchronicity is, we're all moving into the synchronistic type of stages of humanity's development, and whichever way you choose to do that is perfectly wonderful in that. And so, you know, it enables us to just be at peace with who we are, not have to prove who we are, not have to, you know, put other people down or call them names or try to bring all that. Because, you know how you feel when you talk to somebody and it's sticky and gossipy and it's just, it's like you've been slimed. And you know the difference when you've talked to somebody and you've been inspired or you've stayed open to what's going back and forth and follow the trail of your brain lighting up and taking you into all of those memories. I mean, we only use a certain amount of our brain. Imagine if it was all turned on at once. We would have these amazing experiences, and I truly feel that's where we're headed. We're really headed with that way, with what we're doing, with how we're doing it, and we have to move past the kind of conspiracy stuck muck, I call it. It's like people get stuck in the conspiracy and don't want to ever move forward or give any kind of thought to, well, why is this being shown to me now? What is the purpose of this material popping up in my path today? You know, you started thinking about the Voynich manuscript on Tuesday. I went to see it. You and I don't know each other. You said even yourself, you just read about me for 20 minutes before the show, and I don't even know anything about you eating on your show. So the fact that you and I had that is extraordinarily important, and I would mark that in my psyche as something to follow up on. And that's how I track those kinds of things. So I'm just sharing that with people in closing of the show. You know, when people talk about who I am and what I do, well, you know, it's kind of hard to put a label or title on that. I work with people as a clairvoyant, clear vision, moving into empath, into situations where we work together one-on-one through Skype or the phone, and we, you know, people come to me not for readings about where they found or lost their keys or who they're going to marry tomorrow, but to talk about issues that are getting into the meat, the knit and grit of what's going on energetically in that, because it's all available if you know how to access it. And I'm certainly sure that you have experience in being able to do that, and you understand exactly what I'm saying. So there's hope. And somebody just asked if I'm taking drops. I have my dashboard up too. No, I'm not. I'm not taking it. Matthew sent me a sample bottle probably last beginning of spring. I finished it, and I haven't been on it since, so no, I'm not using the drops.
Right, they are reviewing us as we speak. There's all kinds of funny statements. They're going, what is the name of that book? Hi, guys, has Bob revealed anything about the Kennedy assassination yet? And they say, yes, he talked about Hoover and this and that. And it's very funny, but I just wanted to read you what one of my first best mediums, Cosmic Awareness, said about me in 1969. I asked what my purpose and direction was. And the answer was, this awareness indicates this within the previous message, which I don't offer. This is in my diaries that are public, that your action in relation to the symbolic language is that which is extraordinary. Now, awareness had this symbolic language project going, so I was heavily useful to that project. Then they say, this also will aid in relating higher abstractions within the psyche in a manner which creates the circumstances by which you may speak through more than one symbol simultaneously in a series of well-chosen words. This at a level of transpersonative interaction. Now, transpersonative awareness meant is like on ESP. So I have spoken with well-chosen words taken from the sources I listed at the beginning that you didn't recognize any of them, and I do it relating higher abstractions. So I did that today. I've always done that, and that is what I am pretty good at, is relating higher abstractions into a series of well-chosen words with extraordinary symbolic effect on a transpersonative interaction. So you and I were already preparing for this talk on Tuesday, both engaging the Voynich manuscript transpersonatively,